And truly this morning, what a privilege it is, Run Up for Christ Ministries family and Blog Talk Radio family, to be with you and to be your teacher this morning. This is Minister Janice Tate, and I am picking up again in 2 Corinthians. We're in the 11th chapter, so get your coffee, your Bible, your pencil and paper, or your iPad, or whatever you use, and let's get into the Word first with prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being, again, your children, to be able to call you Father, Lord. And for those who don't really know you, we ask that you just speak to their hearts today throughout all that goes on. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we are in 2 Corinthians, and we are in chapter 11, and I'll be picking up at verse 5 where we left off in the New Living Translation, which reads as follows, down to verse 15. But I don't consider myself inferior in any way to these super apostles who teach such things. I may be unskilled as a speaker, but I'm not lacking in knowledge. We have made this clear to you in every possible way. I was wrong when I humbled myself and honored you by preaching God's good news to you without expecting anything. I robbed other churches by accepting their contributions so I could serve you at no cost. And when I was with you and didn't have enough to live on, I did not become a financial burden to anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia brought me all that I needed. I have never been a burden to you, and I never will be. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, no one in all of Greece will ever stop me from boasting about this. Why? Because I don't love you? God knows that I do. But I will continue doing what I have always done. This will undercut those who are looking for an opportunity to boast in their work. Is just like ours. These people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I'm not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is of no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. All right, we're picking up again where the Apostle Paul has been defending his ministry and his work in the Church of Corinth against those who came behind him, and he calls them super apostles. And what he says about these super apostles is these super apostles teach other things other than the truth about Jesus Christ and his finished work. They're coming, and as Christ, as Jesus himself warned, that there'll be wolves that'll come among the flocks. There will be people who will come in, who will come to subvert the gospel, the true gospel. And so Paul is defending himself against the attacks of these super apostles who are turning the people of Corinth at this church away from Jesus and towards themselves. And he also points out that these people come and they expect to be paid for their apostleship, if you would. They expect to get money. They live off of the support from this church. And Paul plainly says he did not take money from this church. He came and he brought them the good news. He has taught them. He has ministered and encouraged them through his letters and through his teaching. And he did not take a dime from them. He said the money that he used came from other churches who supported him to go and do the work in the Church of Corinth. This is a good example for those who like to go and minister at other places. Don't go be a burden to those you're ministering to. Be a help by bringing them what God has given to you. And God will provide for you to be able to go and do that. Paul has been done that way. But he is flat out calling these apostles false. These super intellectual courts, so to speak, these people who can speak eloquently and do a great show, but yet they take away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He said they're false. They look good, but he said even Satan disguised himself as an angel of light. And so it's not unusual that the people who do the same thing Satan did in deceiving others would look like they're actually good apostles. But Paul says, no, I don't come with my super apostleship. No, I'm not a great eloquent speaker, but I know Jesus. I know his word. All right, let's continue in verse 16. Again, I say, don't think that I'm a fool to talk like this. But even if you do, listen to me as you would to a foolish person. While I also boast a little, such boasting is not from the Lord, but I'm acting like a fool. And since others boast about their human achievements, I will too. After all, you think you are so wise, but you enjoy putting up with fools. You put up with it when someone enslaves you, takes everything you have, takes advantage of you, takes control of everything, and slaps you in the face. I'm ashamed to say that we've been too weak to do that. But whatever they dare to boast about, I'm talking like a fool again, I dare to boast about it too. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked and a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I faced dangers in cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsting and have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray that I don't burn with anger? If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is worthy of eternal praise, knows I'm not lying. When I was in Damascus, the governor under Aretas kept guard at the city gates to catch me. I had to be lowered in a basket through a window in the city wall in order to escape from him. So now Paul says, let's do some foolish human boasting. I'm going to play the game for a second, and I'm going to boast as a man. Let's look at our resumes. Heritage, yep, equal to yours. My Jewish identity, yep, equal to theirs. But he says, now let's talk about the difference. He goes on to list all the things that he has endured to take the gospel to these different churches. And I can guarantee you he's saying it because none of these false apostles would have endured any of the things Paul did, being whipped and beaten, because when you're in it for the money, you are not in it for the suffering. Paul, that's why Paul says, I want to know him in Philippians and the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering, the power of the resurrection being the good stuff, the life that comes from him. But the fellowship of his suffering is the hardship. Remember, our Savior bore a cross in order to give us a crown. So Paul is saying they didn't do the things that I've gone through. But he calls it again foolish boasting. It's not important to him to compare resumes. Because, again, when you compare yourself by yourself, you are comparing yourself to a fool. So Paul says if he would rather boast, he'd rather boast about the fact that he is so burdened and grieved that these, his children, his people that he had brought into the faith, are being led astray and are being taken advantage of by these false apostles. That he would rather boast about. All right, let's pick up the 12, verse 1 through 10. This boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weakness. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so, because I would be telling the truth. But I don't want to. But what, I won't do it, because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I've received such wonderful revelations from God, keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. If anyone is out there, you have grown up in church or you've been church, you understand that this is a famous passage of Scripture, you know, Paul being caught up in the third heavens. And then this beautiful verse, my grace is sufficient, which the Lord told you, which the Lord shared with him, and that his power works best in our weakness. But let's put it in context. Here is Paul saying, after all that he listed that he's endured for Christ, he could boast better and he could put all the super apostles to shame if he would only talk about what he saw when he had his vision and revelations from the Lord, when he went to the third heaven, to God's throne, what he saw. If he could go around and do that, Paul would have had a rich, abounding ministry because everybody would have worshiped Paul. But remember, Paul says if he's going to boast, he's going to boast in the Lord. And he said to prevent him, to keep him from using this, he is going to not, he was given a thorn in his flesh. He was given a thorn in his flesh, a messenger from Satan. In other words, something that tormented him, troubled him. We don't know what it is. One day when we get to be with Paul, we can ask him and maybe, and he'll tell his testimony. But in the meantime, we need to understand something was given to him to keep him humble. I think all of us who are in Christ, who are maturing, know and understand we all have something that keeps us from looking down on other people. We all have something that keeps us reminded that we too were saved by the Christ of the cross. And so Paul said this messenger was given to him, and he asked the Lord, he begged the Lord to take it away three times. That number, three times he went in and asked, and the Lord told him simply this, my grace is sufficient for whatever your struggle is. Understand, God's grace is sufficient. He will give you the power and the strength to endure whatever is hardship or trouble or torment or whatever you're going through. And that's what Paul is sharing. None of these super apostles went through what he went through. And to keep him humble, God gave him something, allowed something to come on him that kept him from being arrogant and boastful. Again, we don't know what it is. They only can speculate. So Paul says he takes pleasure in that. Why? Because he knows that when he speaks and when he does anything, it is not by his power, but it is the power of Christ in him. It is the power of God at work in him that is doing these things. Let's pick up and verse 11. You have made me act like a fool, boasting like this. You ought to be writing commendations for me, for I am not at all inferior to those super apostles, even though I am nothing at all. When I was with you, I certainly gave you proof that I'm an apostle, for I patiently did many signs and wonders and miracles among you. The only thing I failed to do, which I do in the other churches, was to become a financial burden to you. Please forgive me for this wrong. Now I am coming to you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you. I don't want what you have. I want you. After all, children don't provide for their parents. Rather, parents provide for their children. I will gladly spend myself and all I have for you, even though it seems that the more I love you, the less you love me. For some of you admit I was not a burden to you, but others still think that I was sneaky and took advantage of you by trickery. But how? Did any of the men I sent to you take advantage of you? When I urged Titus to visit you and sent our other brother with him, did Titus take advantage of you? No. But we have the same spirit and walk in each other's steps, doing things the same way. Perhaps you think we're saying these things just to defend ourselves. No. We tell you this as Christ's servants and with God as our witness. Everything we do, dear friends, is to strengthen you. For I am afraid that when I come to you, I won't like what I find, and you won't like my response. I'm afraid that I will find quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorderly behavior. Yes, I am afraid that when I come again, God will humble me in your presence, and I will be grieved because of many of you have not given up your old sins. You have not repented of your impurity, sexual immorality, and eagerness for lustful pleasure. So here we have Paul again, just saying he's not going to play the game. He's never been a burden to them. He's not going to be a burden to them when he comes. But when he comes, he's afraid he's going to find some of the things we saw if we read 1 Corinthians, gossip, slander, dissension, division, all the things that were destroying the church, that there were still people who were still behaving and not following Christ. They were doing the things that they did before they got saved. They were unrepentant. And Paul is saying this is going to make him weak. It's going to grieve him. It's going to burden him that he comes to this church and finds that they still have not matured into full Christian adulthood, if I call it, where you are past these things, that love and the fruit of the Spirit is on display, and that the church is growing. Why? Because of the letter that Paul obviously received that it caused the problem for him to have to write yet again. So he's saying, they need to repent before he comes, because if not, he's going to have to deal with the issues. Chapter 13. This is the third time I'm coming to visit you, and as the scriptures say, the facts of every case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I've already warned those who have been sinning when I was there on my second visit. Now I again warn them and all others just as I did before. The next time I come, I will not spare them. I will give you all the proof you want that Christ speaks through me. Christ is not weak when he deals with you. He is powerful among you. Although he was crucified in weakness, he now lives by the power of God. We too are weak, just as Christ was. But when we deal with you, we will be alive with him and will have God's power. Examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. As you test yourselves, I hope you will recognize that we have not failed the test of apostolic authority. We pray to God that you will not do what is wrong by refusing our correction. I hope we won't need to demonstrate our authority when we arrive. Do the right thing before we come, even if it makes like even if that makes it look like we have failed to demonstrate our authority. For we cannot oppose the truth, but we must always stand for the truth. We are glad to seem weak if it helps show you that you are actually strong. We pray that you will become mature. Again, Paul is speaking clearly. Deal with the issues. Get before God. Test and see that you are in Christ, that you really believe that confession and that profession that you made, that Jesus Christ is the reason that you are saved, his atoning sacrifice of sin. And then there should be transformation. That knowledge should change you because you have the Holy Spirit in you to transform you. And Paul is telling them, test it. Deal with it before I come so I won't have to come and hear from two or three people that you're the one who are arrogant and slandering and gossiping. And in other words, I'm not saying that we're perfect now, but we should be maturing, changing. We talked about people, there should be less talking about people. If you're slandering people, gossiping, you should be, it should be decreasing, not increasing or staying at the same level. Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if there is no fruit, then you have to wonder if you're attached to the root, to the vine, to Jesus. And he's telling them to test this before he comes so he doesn't have to come and go hard, because the reality of it is he's going to have to come with the word of God, the words of truth that the Holy Spirit will give to speak to their sinful behavior. So he wants them to deal with it before he comes. And then he can strengthen them, and he can come and see a maturing church. Verses 11 through 14. He says, let me pick up verse 10. I'm writing this to you before I come, hoping that I won't need to deal severely with you when I do. For I want to use the authority of the Lord to give me to strengthen you, not to tear you down. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letters with these last words. Be joyful, grow in maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet each other with Christian love. All of God's people here send you their greetings. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Again, here we have Paul just closing his letter, telling them, be joyful, be fruitful, mature, move past these sins that keep tripping you up. Get rid of these false apostles. Learn the truth. Get into the presence of God and live in harmony and peace with each other. Again, because why? The only boast we have is Jesus. The only thing we need to talk about is what Christ has done for us by taking our sins on himself. That's Paul's boast. When you proclaim that repeatedly, that is all you have, then when you grow from that, you'll produce fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You'll live in harmony and peace with other people. You'll pursue it. It will become your hallmark. And Paul is telling them that. And then he encourages them by saying, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that's with us all when we're living and walking in his word. And that concludes Paul's second letter, or Second Corinthians, as we call it, because there were more than two letters that were written. But God has given us enough in his word for us to understand. If we boast, our only boast should be in Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to give a word of prayer. Father, for everyone listening, we thank you because of Jesus. It is only because of Jesus that we can even come, call you Father, and be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It is only because of his righteousness that has been imputed to us that we have right standing before you, Lord. So we pray, Lord, for all of us who have ears to listen, that we listen for his voice, for his leading through the Holy Spirit, and that we be able to speak against those who do not exalt Jesus above all, the only name that's been given under heaven for us. We thank you. We praise you for this day, and we thank you for the word. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was such a good lesson. Living love, joy, peace, patience, and harmony. And it goes back to that, the scripture in Romans 12:1-13, not thinking that we're better than anyone else, and just loving people and not pretending to love them, but really love them. Thank you, Sister Janice, Sister Pastor Janice Tate, for the lesson. We just appreciate you. Very, very good lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, have a great day.
You too.
All right. Okay, we're going to have a song, and then we will see you on the other side and start our service. Amen.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power. Power of the Lord is here.
Amen. Hallelujah. What a way to start the morning. The power and the blessings of the Lord is here, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Block Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Runner for Christ Ministry Sunday Morning Worship Service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Our scripture reading today is found in Colossians 3, 1 through 15, Living the New Life. Living the New Life. And that's Colossians 3, 1 through 15. Here reads the Word of God. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in his place of honor, at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, a barbaric, civilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill your Holy Spirit with everyone who will take place, to will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and preach words so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear kind Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask all these blessings, Lord. We are so grateful and thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Give you all of me. Give you all. have all you can. Sing, have all of me. Sing, have all of me. Tell them I'm yours. I give you all of me. Give you all of me. Give you all of me. Now connect your heart with your mouth. You can have all of me. Have all of me. Have all. Say, I'm yours.
What it's all about, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what it's all about, saints, is that we allow God day by day, moment by moment, to have all of us. But you know, the Lord wants to look in our hearts because that's where he lives, right? The Lord looks on the heart rather than the words that come out of our mouth or the fake actions produced by fake motives. He looks at our heart. Amen. And God looks into our hearts to see if we really desire him, if we really long for him. You know, we love to please people. We love to make people think this, make people think that. But that really doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is what does Jesus think? Because he knows. He knows why I say what I say, why I do what I do. And he knows if I desire his glory, rather than trying to rob him of his glory.
I need to glow. I want to glow. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Show me your glory and show me your power. Less of me and more of you is what I need.
I want your glory.
Let to me. Rejecting the love in your warm embrace, but I realize I need you more and more each day.
I need you more.
Oh, I need you.
I want your glory.
I want your glory.
Less of me
and more of you.
You took us there once again, and we just thank you. Thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Amen. And which takes us the time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Dr. Nico Gaston, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Dr. Nico Gaston. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Bad news from the physician. My heart started pounding as I listened to what was said. Cause in my head I never thought it could happen to me. But I recall what I was taught in the 34th chapter of the Book of Psalms. In spite of our afflictions, He'll deliver us from them all. My trust still lies in You. I know You're gonna bring me through, through this trial, but I'm not ending now. I know it's gonna get hard sometimes. And when those moments come, I'll rest within Your arms and give You praise for what's about to come. No matter how long it takes, I'll never give up on praise. So while I wait, I'll be patiently praying. Book of James, the proud faith shall save the sick, the Lord will raise them up once again. Yeah, that encourages me to praise Him along the way to my breakthrough.
Listeners, let us go boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. Oh Lord, hear our prayers. Father God, Thank you for waking us up this morning and breathing life into our bodies. Thank you for delivering us from our sins and from ourselves. Father God, we thank you that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and called us to intercede for others. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we ask for grace. We also ask for love and peace to fill the hearts of mankind. We ask you, Lord, to show leadership on every level, how to rise up and walk in godliness instead of pride. Lord, I pray for mankind. I pray for our athletes in Tokyo competing in the Olympics, and cast your precious angels around them daily and let no harm come to them. Lord, in a short time, students will be returning to school. Help the educational leaders look to you to make unselfish decisions regarding students returning to school this fall. Let their decisions always be in the best interest of the students. Lord, many are hurting financially, physically, and mentally. Recently, many have suffered great losses such as their homes and even their loved ones due to the fires on the West Coast and the flooding from the North to the South and East Coast. Lord, you are still in control, so we thank you for being our strength and our song during these times. Thank you for giving us victory in any situation we may face. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be afraid, for you are with us. We don't have to be discouraged, for you are our God. Lord, we thank you for holding us up with your victorious right hand. Blog Talk listeners, hear the Lord's voice. Harden not your hearts and understand today is the day of salvation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. The Lord is our inheritance, therefore put your hope in him. Praise the Lord at all times and constantly speak his praises. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you for being close to all who call on you in truth. Lord, we call on you as we surrender all. Lord, help us all to devote ourselves to prayer and with a thankful heart. Lord, we know your unfailing love never ends. By your mercies, we have been kept from complete destruction. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new each day. Father God, we ask that you save, deliver, and set free all on today. Lord, you are God, our Savior, and in you we place our hope. Lord, we pray to you, our Father in heaven. May your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
But it's in those times that we
Amen and amen. Thank you, Dr. Nico Gaston, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. Just thank you and have a beautiful day. All right. I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear after this selection to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own Sister Deaconess June Rogers. Let us prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers as she come in her own way. Amen?
Do this sin no more, no other way. Said I was done, but again I'm down in my mess. It's the flesh I have chosen. Lord, I need you to change me and rearrange me. I can't do it by myself, no. I need you to change me, yeah, and rearrange me, 'cause I can't do it by myself.
Judah.
to change me and rearrange me, 'cause I can't do it by myself, no. I really need your help, Jesus. Oh, I need you to change me.
Yes.
And rearrange me. I can't do it by myself, no.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Well, hopefully you were listening to the psalmist. He said, my mess, my flesh, people, we did this. Whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, we did it. But the God we serve can change us. He can burn it away. Hopefully you were also listening to the prayer when Dr. Gaston prayed. She talked about the fact that the kids will be going back to school soon. And, you know, there's a whole lot of things we're going to go back to. But we don't have to go back the same way we were when we were there last time. So I just thank God for what he is doing, what he can do, and what he will do. So good morning, everyone. Pastor O will be continuing in the series, The New Life. Last week in part two, Pastor O told us how to live the new life. He stressed that we need to let the Holy Spirit guide our lives. We need to listen and reflect. As I was listening and reflecting, I recalled having one of those raw conversations through the Holy Spirit where God explained that my lack of change was indeed because I simply did not love him enough to choose him over my wants, over my flesh, over whatever is getting in the way. What a revelation and a reminder. Thanks, Pastor, for driving home that point about how love for God and change are connected. Now, if you missed part one or part two, you can go to the rfcm.org website, click on Bible classes, then free sermons. That takes you to the Blog Talk link, and then just scroll down to the title of Living the New Life, part one or part two. So now we're on to part three of this three-part series on living the new life. Just ask me to read Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It is written, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all his richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. You know this is the place where I briefly speak about blessings. And as you have noticed, it is usually about the blessings we receive from God. This morning, I want to point out that these blessings from God not only come to us, but through us. Since blessings are fluid and dynamic, they can move freely, trickle through, or be blocked. We see in the passages just read that if we desire the blessings of peace, we need to clothe ourselves in the many virtues that Christ taught us to be and to be grateful. The long and short is that blessings are ever present for the taking. And right now, we're about to hear from a doer of the word about what we need to do. Please ready your hearts to listen to what God told Pastor O to tell you. Since this is personal, you need to make it personal to yourself right now and declare this as if you're speaking to yourself. God chose Pastor O on this day to tell me something special so I can be blessed with a new life. All right, then, I hope you are as ready as I am to hear it. If yes, repeat this after me. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Break it down for us. Amen. I was pointing at myself on that one. Amen. Thank you, Deacon and June Rogers. Appreciate you.
God bless.
And that husband of yours, Ray.
Okay.
Radio man. That's what I'm calling. Anyway, I saw the movie. Anyway, he better than that. Anyway, God bless. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. I thank God for, you know, I sit in anticipation to see what the Lord is going to say every time before I get up to preach through Dignus June Rogers. I want to see what he's going to say because that will be the last guidance that I get before I preach. And she always comes through with something, you know, sometimes he'll say, I'll say to him, why won't you just say that stuff to me yourself? He say, because you'll listen to them. But anyway, that's a joke between us. But anyway, God bless you on this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. You are so awesome and you are so great. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. Everything happens, and when these things happen, you already know the way out. You've made a way of escape through everything that could possibly happen to us. And so we thank you for that, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for this word. Pray, Heavenly Father, that we receive this word, accept this word, and start living it. Because you've given us something brand new, and we stuck on the old. And we think, like Jesus, when you was here, you said, nobody wants the new because the old is better. Well, Jesus, we help us to see that the new is forever and so much better. In your name we ask about it. Amen. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And Lord, bless my heart so it receives your word today. I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts are not like yours. And that's why I'm here, so that I can no longer be conformed to this world, but I want to be transformed. I want to have my mind renewed by your word so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Again, we're in part three of a three-part series that I am so glad is getting over with. I don't know if you know it, but when a preacher preaches a sermon, the Lord God actually has them live, well, at least with me, when I got to preach a sermon, he'll have me live it out. And that's why I kind of don't like series, because for the last 3 weeks, I had 3 weeks of bad days. The devil does not want this word to get out, and so he's been constantly attacking me and everything around me. Okay, he attacked my race truck and broke the window out, and it's a 92, so I went through all kinds of fun getting it put back in. Right after I get that back in and I'm happy and praising him, I pull my steering off. My steering wheel comes off my race truck so you can get in and out over the roll cage. I pulled it out the wrong way. I knew it was the wrong way. I knocked my front tooth out. And then I wake up this morning, and I go to the back window like I always do, look out in the back, make sure everything is still there. And it's been there since 94. Jesus is good. But then I noticed this big branch that I knew was going to break. Well, I tried to cut most of it off, and I did. But then I left some up there, and guess what? It was broken, headed for my other truck to break that window out. But it looked like something was holding that thing in midair. And I'm like, Jesus. He's like, what? I'm like, why the brass not falling? He said, go out there and move your truck. So I went out there and moved my truck, put it on the grass, and I left it alone. Then my wife came and told me just before we came on air. She say, hey, Boo, guess what? I mean, she say, hey, strong girl husband, guess what? So I came to the window, and the branch, she said, look lower now. And right where it was, it would have been right in my driver's side window, and then it would have been broke out. Jesus held that. I guess he figured I just couldn't take no more. So I'm glad to get to part three of this here sermon, amen, so these things can stop happening, amen. I just need you to know that as things happened over the last 3 weeks, he fixed them. He just fixed them, fixed them, fixed them. And there's a fix already in for the tree limb. So, amen. before I get into deep trouble, Jesus always fixed things because he know I start fussing and going crazy. So he fixed things before I can start that. When stuff happens, he always like, don't even start. I already got it fixed. Then I can't fuss about it. But anyway, amen, amen. God wants you to live what you preach. And I think it's Deaconess Kathy Clyburn for got me listening to her show and Teddy Pendergrass talking about, you preachers, start preaching what you teach. That's her fault. Anyway, no, it started before that. But anyway, God bless. Amen. So we're going to finish out this living the new life. Amen. That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus didn't come for us to stay the same. He came to tell us that you live in heaven, and you need to start living like that. So he showed us what the new life is by contrasting it with the old life. He starts out in verse 1, since you've been raised to a new life, see, this is already done. Once you accepted Christ as your Savior, you've been raised to live a new life. So he says, in order to live that new life, you need to set your sights on the realities of heaven and not the realities of earth. Amen. In other words, heaven now is our standard. Heaven has the words that we live by, that we go by. So we need to look to Jesus' word, the Bible, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, to see what heaven is like and how they live up there. Okay? And amen. And he said, we're to look there where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. You know, God told Jesus over in Hebrews chapter 1, you need to read that sometime and look at how awesome Jesus is. He's sitting at God's right hand. And guess what God said? Sit here, Jesus, while I make your enemies your footstool. Can you imagine being an enemy of God? Amen. Run with me real quick. Don't trip and fall, but run with me real quick over to Hebrews chapter 1. I know I told you to look at it when you get some time. Well, you got some time right now, so we're going to look at it. And I want you to go down here to verse 13. Listen to what verse 13 says in Hebrews chapter 1. And God never said to any of the angels, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies and make them a footstool under your feet. See, that's why I think it was Jehoshaphat worried about a battle he had to go in, and the Lord told him, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. And the Lord took care of that battle for him. And then Yolanda Adam wrote a song about the same thing. The battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. If you're walking with Jesus right in the new life, guess what, brothers and sisters? Amen. God will make your enemies behave just like he told Jesus, sit here while I make your enemies your footstool. So, you know, it might be a good idea to go ahead on and get saved, because if you ain't saved, guess what? You're an enemy of the cross. Amen. And God is going to, one way or another, you're going to either do it willingly and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and accept Christ as your Savior, or God's going to humble you. Amen. The Lord said, humble yourself, and I'll lift you up. Amen. Now, the opposite of that, if you don't humble yourself, then you will be abased. God said that, so that's going to happen. You can count on it. Go and live a new life. Start thinking about heaven. Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and God's making his enemies his footstool. But Jesus told us, I ain't calling you no servant no more. And the disciples were like, why? And he said, because servants don't know what's happening in the house. I call you friends because I've told you everything that my Father told me to tell you. Amen. So we friends. He says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. So if your mind is constantly, look, let's go over to Romans chapter 8. We need to get this. Stop talking about this a Bible class. There ain't no Bible class. I'm preaching. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. I'm going to start right there. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature, that's the flesh, the old life, think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. See, they set their mind on heaven, amen, and they're thinking about things that make the Holy Spirit smile. They're not thinking about things that grieve the Holy Spirit that we have from God. So letting, watch out, there's that word letting. That means the sinful nature ain't just doing it. You letting it happen. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to what? Death. See, so the old life is what? Death. It leads to death. It does not lead to blessings. It does not lead to joy. It does not lead to fulfillment. It leads to death. But letting the spirit control your mind, in other words, keeping your mind stayed on heaven, I think it's 26:3, those who keep their mind, Isaiah 26:3, those who keep their mind stayed on me, I will keep in perfect peace. Challenge God. Jesus, my mind stayed on you when my coworker's going crazy on me. Let me be in perfect peace. If you do it, you'll get it. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. That's why we need that Romans 12 thing to happen. Be transformed by what? The renewing of our minds. And how do you renew your mind? You look into the Word of God, Lord, look into your mind and see what you think about this or about that. Then you look into the Word of God to see what God says about that. Then you let the Spirit control your mind the way you think about this or that. And that will lead to life and peace. Amen. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. Didn't we read that last week over in Galatians? It never did obey God's law, and it never will. Your flesh didn't come along for the salvation ride. This flesh got to be renewed. God don't even want it unless it's renewed. We're going to get a glorified bodies like Jesus. That's why those who are still under the control of their flesh or sinful nature can never please God. You want to please God, then live by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us without faith it's impossible to please God. And what is faith? Faith is knowing what God said and putting it into practice, following after the Holy Spirit, and he is not going to lead you away from God. So whatever you're into, if it's leading you away from God, get out of it because you're into the wrong thing. Whatever you're doing, if it's leading you away from God, get out of it. Hey, look, stop telling Jesus to pull me out of it. You're going to have to do what Deaconess June Rogers said. You're going to have to love him enough to get out of it. You're going to have to learn what Jesus meant when he said deny yourself. That word deny, you need to do some work on that. And it means just what it says. Deny you. Accept God's word. Amen. For you died and your life is hid in Christ, right? That means you are safe and secure. When you had something, you wanted to be safe and you wanted to be secure. So we are safe and secure in Jesus when we died. For you died to this life when you got saved and got eternal life. And God hid you in Jesus. Guess what? You don't even know what your life is really all about until you discover your life in Jesus. Because if you died to this life and your real life is hidden in Christ Jesus, you need to be cracking that Bible open every second you get to find out what Jesus like. Because that's what you like. You ain't never going to find out, I wonder who I am. That's why our hair color be changing. That's why our clothes be looking all funny. That's why we be doing all kinds of crazy things. We're trying to discover ourselves. Well, guess what? Your life, your Christian life, your eternal life, amen, and how you going to be forever is hidden in Christ. So you need to spend the rest of your life trying to find out what Jesus was like because that's what you're like. Come on with me over to Ephesians chapter 4. Don't run. Just go on over to Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. I might be there a little bit before you because I'm using a computer. Amen. Listen. Listen here. You heard Elder Smith, who comes to preach on our second Saturday Blog Talk radio services. You heard him preach about the fivefold ministry of God, right? He called son to be apostle, son to be prophet, son to be evangelist, and finally, pastors who teach, or Elder Stevens, or pastors who are teachers. Guess what the pastor's job is, along with those that God have given to help him, the preachers and them Bible school teachers. Amen. He says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of the world? No, of Christ. Amen. So back to chapter 3, your life is hid in Christ. You need to find out what Jesus is like, because you're going to be, you're not going to be him, but you're going to be just like him. You know how our Father said, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. I remember when I read that, I closed up the Bible and said, I'm out. Be perfect. Please, I can't even be wrong, right? Anyway, amen. The Lord taught me what that meant. He said, when you have an opportunity to help somebody, help them. When you have an opportunity to forgive somebody, forgive them. When you have an opportunity to show somebody some love, show them some love. When you have an opportunity to show somebody some mercy, be merciful. I said, so that's what that means? He said, be like me. Amen. Now, in order to be like him, on last week we talked about, so you need to put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Don't even act like you got saved and all that stuff just died. I got power over everything from Jesus. No, you don't. Amen. Oh, you got power to overcome everything in Jesus, but you haven't gotten perfect when you got saved. You, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Because I'm speaking all the kind of tongues you want, you still need to grow up. Jesus said in Philippians 1:6, I'm working on you. Guess what he's working on? He's working on helping you put to death these earthly things lurking within you. He says have nothing to do with sexual immorality. We telling Jesus, ain't nothing wrong with me having sex. He say yes. I say yes. What's wrong with that? That's what I told him back in the 70s. He showed me what was wrong with that. It was opposite of God. And I was trying to tell God, let me bring my little sexual immorality to heaven. Remember what he said? Set your sights on heaven. In heaven, there is no sexual immorality. There's no impurity. There's no illegal lust. And there's no evil desires. So, and Jesus says, these things are lurking within us, so don't even try it. Christians trip me out trying to act like they perfect, trying to act like they don't do, I don't go there, I don't do this, I don't do that. Jesus went everywhere. He just didn't sin. He went down to Matthew's house, and they had women up in there who was, you know, amen. He went down to Simon's house. Wherever Jesus went, Simon the Pharisee, wherever Jesus went, he stayed Jesus. Now, if you ain't mature enough to stay Christian everywhere you go, then don't go there. Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. You know what he meant? If what you looking at is causing you to sin, stop looking at it. He said, if your hand is causing you to sin, cut it off. In other words, if you stealing with your hands, if you slapping people with your hands, you're beating up people with your hands, then stop touching people. Stop touching things. Amen. Jesus said, don't be greedy. Ain't nobody in heaven greedy. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. How do you think God feel when you put him down for something he made? Don't ever exchange your relationship with the Lord for a person, place, thing, or thought. Don't let no noun take the place of God. So don't be greedy for God's stuff. You don't have to be greedy for God's stuff. I'm telling you, I was so in love with my 69 Roadrunner because I had wanted one forever, and God gave me one. Then one day, it was a storm, and I saw people's hot rods and stuff all tore up. I'm like, Jesus. He said, yeah, you're not bringing that thing to heaven. Guess what? I sold it. got sad because I had wanted something else, but I was so in love with it that I thought maybe I'd get raptured. It'd come to heaven with me. But when Jesus taught me that I was being greedy, that I was willing, how was I? Because I did anything to get the car. I mean, I worked hard and earned the money, and I bought it. But then I took the car and started going drag racing with God's tithes and offerings. Amen. And then I started skipping church, going racing on Sunday when I was already racing Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. But I had to have Sunday, too, at 9 o'clock. That's when I was supposed to be there, and I was there. But I was also supposed to be teaching Sunday school and helping my pastor. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. And I can't say I didn't worship drag racing. Why? Because when I was supposed to be teaching my Sunday school, I was drag racing. When I was supposed to be helping my pastor, I was drag racing. Watch this. Because of these signs, the anger of God is coming. The end of the world is coming, y'all, because of the crazy stuff that we're doing, just like in Sodom and Gomorrah. just like in the days of Noah. All but 8 people had turned against God. Wasn't nobody looking at the realities of heaven. Wasn't nobody focused on Jesus up in heaven. They all had turned aside except for Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives, 8 people. And God says the same thing to us. Because of these, the anger of God is coming. Now, look, y'all, we all like what we like. We want to do what we do. We want to go where we go and however we want to do it. But guess what? You're a Christian. You have to look to the standard who is Christ to see how we do everything that we do. We always love to quote this passage, but do we really believe it? In all your ways. Now, think about the ways you went on last week. Did you acknowledge every one of them to Jesus and Jesus said, go ahead and do that? Amen. Amen. 1 John 1:9. Now let's move on. Why you listen to what he says. Jesus tripped me out with this. He said, you used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. Ooh, somebody ain't recognized that their life ain't even a part of this world no more. He says, but now it's time for you to get rid of anger. You still like to be angry though. Rage, you still like to go off on people. Malicious behavior just can't act right. Love to slander people and use all kind of dirty, filthy language. People trip me out with that one. They act like Jesus don't even have ears. If you love Jesus enough, you ain't going to be cussing. One time I cussed and Jesus said, hey. And I said, ain't nobody around. He said, I'm around and I don't want to hear that. I'm like, wow, you sound real mad, Jesus. Hey, so I stopped cussing. Amen. Don't lie to each other. Whoa, God Almighty. Lord, you are not serious with this one. Don't lie to each other. For you stripped off your old sinful nature and its wicked deeds. Somebody sitting there like, really? I don't remember when I did that. Amen. Because I'm pretty much the same as when I got saved. But we're going to move on. Amen. That ain't even my business. Put on your new nature. Uh-oh. He says, take off. Now he's saying, put on. Wrong. Come with me. Well, you don't have to come with me. Just listen to me. Romans chapter 6, you don't believe it, but read it. Amen. Amen. Go over to Romans chapter 6, and you're going to see the first so many verses deal with us. Amen. We're no longer captive to sin, but you're going to see over and over, it says, since you are no longer a slave of sin, do not let any member of your body be a servant of sin. And he's saying the same thing here. Put on the new nature. Be renewed. How can you be renewed? As you learn to know your Creator and become like him. We're supposed to be spending our saved life becoming like Jesus. Just like we read over in Ephesians. That's the whole goal. Jesus is working on us not to keep doing that old stuff. He wants to give us a new life, a better life, a heavenly life. In this new life, it doesn't matter. In this life, well, look at us down here. We hate each other. Democrats hate Republicans. Republicans hate Democrats. And the poor independents, about 2-3 of them, they're like, well, what about us? Amen. We can't stand each other. Ooh, and black folks really can't stand black folks. I mean, white folks will kill maybe 1 or 2 of us a year, and you know what happened the last time, Chauvin in jail, right? But black folks, hey, we kill each other every single weekend, every single day. We constantly shooting each other up. And if you try to ask black folks, why does black folks kill black folks, you know what they'll tell you? Because white folks won't let them get a job. White folks got them living so hard, they feel like they got to do what they got to do. But I grew up in the same neighborhood. With the same people that's doing the shooting up. Well, I ain't shooting up. Amen. But in this world, money means something. If you got money, you this person. If you don't have money, you ain't that. We so racist. We racist every kind of way you could be racist. This whole country has a nature of racism. It was built on racism. The Puritans came here. The first Christians that came here were Puritans. They were Christian separatists. And when Roger Williams, who founded the Baptist Church in America, when Roger Williams came here, they tried to kill him. Why? Because he did not believe in forced conformity. In other words, if you ain't want to believe in Jesus, well, that was your choice. But the Puritans weren't like that. They were descendants of Oliver Cromwell, and he was ultra-conservative Christian, okay? He even canceled Christmas. Amen. That's how conservative he was. And so when they came here, they brought that conservatism with them and that separatism with them. And they were trying to kill other Christians who wouldn't believe like they believed. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile, whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, whether you're non-Roman barbaric or non-Roman uncivilized. That's what they call barbaric and uncivilized, anyone who wasn't educated in the Roman culture. Slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in us all. And he should be living through us all. But we're still holding on to that old stuff. Jesus ain't living through you. You are saved because you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. But he is not your Lord yet because you're still being the old you. You're still living the old life. You're still cussing. You're still stealing. Go to work and steal pencils. Petty thieves. Amen. Stealing paper. Taking things that don't belong to you. And you know they don't belong to you. But if somebody did that same thing to you, you'd want to kill them. That's not being like Jesus. That's like going to the barbershop to get your hair cut, and you come out with your hair looking exactly the same. You did go to the barbershop. You just didn't do nothing when you was in there. Amen. That's like getting into the tub to get all washed and cleaned up. But you forgot to turn the water on. So you got in the tub dirty and getting out dirty. That's why old folks used to say you went in a wet devil and you'd come out of the baptism pool a wet devil. You went in a dry devil, came out a wet devil. Now let's talk about the new life. Okay, we read over in Galatians last week about all this stuff that we do. We know what we do. We really don't need the Lord to tell us how foul we are. We know we foul. Sometimes we so foul, we say we foul. We know it. We might not tell nobody else that, but we've done some foul things, and we know that was foul. We'll go to people and say, you know, that was foul what I did to you. That was so foul, I'm sorry. Amen. So what do we do? What is this new life? Oh, it is such so awesome. Listen to this. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, stop right there. Amen. Since God chose you to be the holy people that he loves, run with me real quick. Don't trip and fall. Just run with me. Go to John. Go to chapter 1, amen, and now let's read verses 12 and 13. Listen to what the Lord say about who chose you. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth, resulting from human passion, you know what he's talking about, right? Or plan, let's have some kids, you know what he's talking about. But a birth that comes from God. God chose you. Run with me again. Don't trip and fall because we're going to run a distance this time. We're going to John chapter 15, and we're going to get some more proof that God chose us. Amen? That's how I do scripture. If I read scripture in one place, it should be backed up by scripture in another place. Well, I'm going to have to hold my, amen, my interpretation on that passage, because it ought to be able to be hooked up from Genesis to Revelation. It ought to be able to find this truth from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, or I've misinterpreted God's word. No one passage of scripture can give you a proper interpretation of what God said. You need to do some works. It's called hermeneutics. It's searching out, did God really say this? If he said it in the New Testament, you ought to be able to find the same teaching in the Old Testament. Listen to what Jesus says in 15 and 16, John 15, verse 16. The last passage was John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Listen, you didn't choose me. Uh-oh. Wow, I chose you. I love watching this DVD, The Gospel of John, when Jesus says that, they cut away and show when Jesus was choosing his disciples. They didn't choose him. He chose them. You didn't choose him. He chose you. Amen. It's called predestination. It's called election. I don't care which one, whether God predetermined I would be saved or whether God elected me to be saved. I'm just glad he elected or predetermined me, period. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And guess what? I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. If you're involved in the work of Jesus, you can get what you want, but you can't be decreeing and declaring things that's not in the Word of God. I don't know her name, but she posted something on Facebook this morning that said, when we pray in the will of God, according to God's will, we'll get it. And I've commented on that, and only when we do that, amen, think we can ask God, give me a new house, and we ain't even taking care of the house we in. Give me a new car, and we won't even drive that car to church, but everywhere else. We want God to give us stuff to take us away from him. God chose us. Amen? And now as we navigate our way back to Colossians chapter 3, we're going to get back into this stuff that we're supposed to be. Look what the Lord says. Since God chose you to be his holy people that he loves, so don't ever think God don't love you. There'll never be a second, there'll never be even a millisecond that God don't love you. Amen. Jesus died for all your sins. Jesus died for all your mess up, screw ups, all that we could just mess up. He died for that. God punished the crap out of Jesus on the cross. You ain't ever watched the Passion? That was the result of your sins, my sins, our sins, the sins of all mankind from Adam to this very day was placed on Jesus. Even the sins of those who are going to exist during the tribulation period after we're raptured out of here, even Jesus died for their sins, even for people who didn't accept him. Ain't nobody going to get to heaven and stand in front of Jesus, in front of the white throne, and say, you didn't die for me. Yes, he did. God made a way, and his name is Jesus. Now, here we go again. You must clothe yourselves. God ain't going to make you do this. Listen to this, though. You must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These are the fruits of the Spirit as they are talked about over in Galatians chapter 5. But he says, you must clothe yourself. In other words, allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in you to produce these things in you. Tender-hearted, amen, love, kindness, and compassion, mercy, you know, giving people what they don't deserve. In other words, they deserve punishment. But rather, you give them kindness. Rather, you show love. Like God should destroy all of us, everybody should be destroyed. But what does he show us? Loving kindness and mercy. Humility, gentleness, and patience. Let the Holy Spirit have his work inside you. And then he says, make allowance for each other's faults. We don't make allowances for nobody's faults. We want God to forgive us of every single thing that we do. But we don't want to forgive nobody for nothing and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Go with me. Take another quick run. We're going to Matthew this time. We're going to chapter 18. Amen. And let's go down to this parable of the unforgiving debtor. I'm going to tell you most of it because I ain't reading all this. Peter came to Jesus, and he's trying to be magnanimous in his question. He said, Lord, how often shall I forgive someone who sins against me? He said seven times. Now, Peter had been raised under Pharisaic teachers, scribes, and they all taught three times, okay? Then after that, I don't know, I guess you could just beat them down. But Jesus says, no, Peter, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And then Jesus tells this story about a man, if you allow me to be quick with this because I'm running out of time. If Jesus says that there's this man who owed a man $1 million, and he couldn't pay. So the man ordered that him and his family and everything he had be sold until the debt is paid. Well, it had never been paid, so he'd have been a slave for life. Okay, the man went to the man he owed and said, hey, will you forgive me? I can't pay your money. I ain't got a dime. I ain't got a stamp. My name Bennett, and there ain't no change in it. So anyway, he said, okay, I forgive you. Everything's paid. You're free. But then he went out and found somebody who owed him $100, a debt that could be paid. And the man said the exact same thing to him that he said to the man, forgive me, and I'll pay the debt. But he didn't. Called the police on him, the debt police. He said, debt police, this man owed me $100. Put him in jail, him and his family, sell them all till I get my $100. Well, guess what? Amen. Some of the servants of the king saw what happened, went back, told the king, you know that guy who was in here this morning, and you forgave him of $1 million debt he couldn't pay? Well, guess what? He went out and found somebody who owed him $100, and he had him thrown in jail. Oh, he got called back in. See this? Now watch this. Angels will go back and tell that you are unforgiving, that God forgave you of everything, but now here you are, got a prison full of unforgiving people, and the angels are running back and telling, these are the servants who went back and told. Come on, Lord, get the metaphor. The angels going to run and tell that you got people in your prison. Now God calls you in and say, didn't I forgive you of all your sins? And you say, yes, Lord, in Jesus' name, I just 1 John 1:9, and you forgave me. He said, well, then shouldn't you have forgiven them people you got there in your prison of unforgiveness? Shouldn't you? And then the person didn't have nothing else to say. And Jesus finished by saying this, this is what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. So you have to convince God. I just went through it the other day. I told you a little bit about it. I don't even like talking about it. My race truck been sitting in the backyard since 07, since I bought it. Well, my neighbor one morning was out weed whacking his lawn. He runs his weed whacker at extreme, so I was laughing and cracking up at it. But it wasn't funny when the Lord reminded me that I needed to change the timing on my truck. I needed to put a little bit more timing in it to make it run better on the street, because I street drive it now. And so what he told me was go out there. So I lifted up the hood. I ain't noticed nothing yet. Lifted up the hood, moved it, bumped the timing up about 2 degrees, or 1 or 2 degrees, and then locked it down. And then I let the hood down, and I noticed something that looked funny on my passenger side window. So I went around there. It was busted out. Not busted all the way out, but just shattered in place, sitting right there in place, all cracked up. My neighbor, Mr. Weed Whacker, says to me, do you think I did that when I was weed whacking my lawn this morning? I'm on 10 angry, so I ain't saying nothing to him, okay? And then he also says to me, if you think I did it, I'll pay for it. Now I'm on 20 angry. I still ain't saying nothing to him, okay? So I go in the house. I'm ready now to flame on like Johnny Flame. I'm ready to go there. And Jesus step in and throw water all over my flame. Now I can't flame on. And he says, you did not see who did it. You do not know who did it, so you cannot accuse anybody. But I do know who did it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go ahead, pay for your truck. I'll supply the cash you need to get it done. He sure did. I'll supply the cash you needed to get it done. And sure enough, I called the big companies. They didn't even know what they was looking at. And then I called this young black brother. He knew exactly what he was looking at, windows back in. Amen? Now, you think the story over, right? No, it ain't over. Why? Because I still ain't speaking to him. And then I come in the house, I see the lady and the little dog I had given her, and I see the lady, and I ain't say a word to him, like I ain't even see him. I'm still Johnny Flame, ready to flame on, but Jesus done doused my flame, so I can't flame on. So anyway, I come back in the house, the Lord started getting on me. He says, you know, you really haven't forgiven them because you're not talking to them. If you're not talking to them, that's demonstration you haven't forgiven them. So he gave me another opportunity. The next morning I walk out there, and there the lady is with the dog again. And I give her a hearty good morning from my heart. Why? Because if it ain't from my heart, Jesus going to say, yeah, I heard the words, but, yeah. Amen. God has forgiven us of all our sins, brothers and sisters. We should forgive others, because what we did to the Lord caused Jesus to have to come and go through what he went through on the cross. And so if God, we might think our sins ain't this, ain't that, But our sins cost Jesus his life. Now, if God will pay that much to have us in relationship with him, what could somebody possibly do to you that amount up to that? And you're not God. He says, above all, clothe yourselves with love. Be like God, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let me see. Let me read you. I ain't got much time, Jesus. Let's go. Jesus said, go to John chapter 17. He said, now read these verses. I'm in John chapter 17. Listen to Jesus and what is uppermost on his mind about the body of Christ. Let me take a sip of orange juice. Amen. Now let me take a cough. Amen. Let me clear my throat. Okay, I'm praying not only for those disciples, but also for, I'm at verse 20. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. And that's us. We read the Bible, we believe, boom. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world would know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. 1 second. Let me clear my throat. Amen. He says, Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know that you sent me. I have revealed you to them and will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them. Amen. Amen. So anyway, God, well, let me finish this out because I got 1 minute. Amen. And let the peace that comes from God rule in your hearts. You know, Jesus said over there in John chapter 14, I give you peace, and the peace I give you, not like the world gives, give I unto you. Amen. We not only have peace with God because we've accepted Christ as our Savior. Amen. Romans chapter 5. And Jesus is no longer, and God is no longer angry with us. We've been reconciled back to him through our faith in Jesus. Amen. And we have perfect peace. You know, that peace that surpasses all understanding. When we don't worry about anything, instead, we pray about everything. We tell God what we need. Amen. And remember what he has done. And then he gives us that perfect peace that surpasses all understanding. So he says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. That means we can have it. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, listen to me, listen about living a new life, do it as a representative for the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. In other words, when we wake up in the morning, Jesus, I deny myself. I'm going to work on my job like I'm working for you. I'm going to deal and interact with people as a conscious representative of you. I'm going to be conscious all the time that everything I say out of my mouth and everything I do with these hairs are to represent, glorify, lift you up. Amen. We talking about living a new life, y'all. The Lord has called, come into our lives to give us a new life, not the old life. I know we think the old life is awesome, the old life is great, but when you look at heaven, when Jesus gives you a real revelation of the book of Revelation, oh, you can't wait. You'll get to the place where you'll get to can't help it. like I got right now, but I'm going to have to help it because all my time gone. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks to you today. Because of Jesus, we can live this new life. Because of Jesus, we can be out with the old and in with the new. We can go from this level to a much higher level. Father, help us to understand that, Jesus, when you were here, you said it. You said that nobody likes the new, but everybody wants to stick with the old because it's familiar, because it's comfortable. But, Jesus, let us become uncomfortable with the old. Let us recognize that the new is from you and is calling us to a higher life, a better way of living, a new way of living versus the old. You showed us what the old, and all of us know, Jesus, we might not be in all that stuff, but we got some stuff that's old, that's not like you. And you want us to be representatives of you in our speech and in our actions. But you're not going to make us do that. We're going to have to love you enough to do that. We're going to have to love you more than ourselves, more than them, more than any person, place, thing, or thought. We cannot place any of that above you. We're going to have to love you above all of that. But, Lord, we can only do it if we let the Holy Spirit have his way with us. So it's my prayer, Lord, that everybody under the sound of my voice listening now or in the future, let the Holy Spirit fill them for the work that you've called us to, for the new life that you've called us to in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Only you could do this. So I pray that everybody get it and everybody live it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Crystal, rescue me.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm about to speak in tongues. I'm about to speak in tongues, and I don't even know how. Praise the
Lord. Amen. Bring that down. Look, I love how Pastor always says, you know, I'm not through, but I got to quit. But then at the same time, you start praying, and then you preaching in your prayer at the same time. So that's kind of a situation.
Exactly.
It's all good. No, it's all good. We take all of it. We take it all. Amen. Ooh. Amen. Go ahead, Pastor. Mute yourself. I'm going to do these announcements.
Thank you.
A lot was said this morning. You're welcome. A lot was said this morning. But the one thing that the Holy Spirit highlighted to me was when Pastor mentioned about Christian separatists or Christian separatism. And I'm like, Jesus, is that not an oxymoron? Like, how can you be a Christian and God is not exclusive? He's inclusive. You know what I'm saying? So we have no business as Christians separating other people who want to be in the body of Christ. Like, we all have a place and a purpose in the body of Christ. And the beautiful thing is that all of this that we heard today about living a new life and changing the way that we do things and the way that we treat people and the way that we work our jobs and the way that we just interact in our day-to-day, not only with ourselves but with God and with others, we don't have to be perfect. We just have to be progressive. You know, God does not expect us to be perfect. He knows that we're not perfect, and so we shouldn't expect that from ourselves. But he does expect progression as we grow in our relationship with him. Amen. So this is an awesome sermon series. I know Pastor is glad for it to be over with. So after announcements, we know that Pastor is going to come back and give us some closing words. Amen. So good morning. Happy Sunday to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners, old and new, who tuned in this morning to our Sunday morning worship service, July 25th. It's the last Sunday in the month of July, and so we're just happy to have everyone here who tuned in. As always, we want to acknowledge and thank our pastors at Running for Christ Ministries, Pastor O, Pastor Janice, Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Terrence, Pastor Janine, Pastor John McFall. If you guys did not hear his sermon yesterday, Lord have mercy, please go back and listen to yesterday's Saturday worship service. Please do, going on today. Amen. So Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 says, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. And so we thank you, Pastor O, for being that messenger of good news today, preaching the word of God to not just us at Run for Christ Ministries, but because of the Blog Talk Radio platform that you initially thought was going to be put in place just for Run for Christ Ministry members who were not able to attend services, now is a platform where the word of God is going all over the world to people who don't even belong to Run for Christ Ministry. So, you know, talk about the plan that God had for Blog Talk Radio. And so we're just so grateful and we're so thankful for the word that you brought to us today. And we know that it's not just us that are listening at Run for Christ Ministries, but people all over the world are able to hear this message. Amen? Amen. So Bible reading class is held on Wednesdays here on Blog Talk Radio, excuse me, at 6 p.m. Deaconess Kathy Clyburn will be teaching Ezra chapters 1 through 6. The questions have been emailed, and they are available online for you to access. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org. Under the Bible Classes tab, you'll find them there. Also, every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, Reverend Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio with his series, Training Day. So, again, set yourself a reminder to tune in every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Also, from now until the month of November, on the fourth Wednesday of every month. So for this month, this Wednesday, July 28th, beginning at 10 a.m. for setup to around 1:30 in the afternoon, First for Living Ministries, Minister Shelley, Pastor O, and as well as anyone else who wants to join in, is out in front of the bus stop that's in front of Run for Christ Ministries, the church building. You know, praying with people, praying for people, rededicating, restoring people to and back in Christ, giving out Bibles and lunches, having conversation with anyone who stops by. So if you're able to make it out this Wednesday, July the 28th, beginning at 10 a.m. for setup, please do, as all are welcome. Amen? Amen. Also, just to remind everyone that our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn has launched her own Blog Talk Radio show entitled Back to the Family, which discusses the deteriorating condition of the family today and explores biblical solutions to bring the family back to God's intended purpose for the family in the beginning. And so Kathy will be back on today at 4 p.m. with a continuation of Back to the Family. You can find her link information to her show under our church website, rfcm.org. Just click under Christian Resources. I've said this before, that the phone number that you will call for Kathy's show is not the number that you call to participate in Bible classes and Saturday and Sunday services here. So make sure if you want to listen to Kathy's class that you go to rfcm.org under Christian Resources, and there's a phone number there and a link to the show for you to be able to tune in. Amen? Amen. Also, excuse me, just a reminder that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free, available 24/7, 365, downloadable, shareable. So rfcm.org under Blog Talk Radio tab is where you'll access that information. So make sure you know, you download them and you share them with others. Amen. If you'd like to bless us at Run for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, if you remember, you want to pay tithes or give any additional offerings towards any of our outreach ministries that we support, which you can find there on our church website, rfcm.org, again, is the place to go. All the information you need is located right there. And in addition to this, if you would like to give a love offering for Pastor O, who brought the word to us today, Pastor has his own website, and so you will go to pastorg.com. That's pastorgodsmyowner.com. That's Pastor's website. You can give your love offering to him through his website. Amen? Amen. So why do we pray? Number one, God wants to connect with us personally. He wants relationship and not religion. Number two, prayer invites God into our circumstances. God is not unaware of what goes on with us. He is all-knowing, and nothing catches him by surprise. But God is a gentleman. He wants to be invited into our lives, and he will not force himself in. He will stand at the door and knock, and he will wait on you to open the door and let him in. Amen. Number three, prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. It is not a one-way conversation. Number four, God wants your heart. So when you speak, speak from your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks good things and bad. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, a good man brings good things out of a good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The Lord wants to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly of our lives. So give him your heart. He can handle it. Trust me. You can never be too far from the forgiveness, grace, and mercy of Jesus Christ. Amen. Number five, we pray to exercise our spiritual authority. God will not do for us what he's already given us the authority to do for ourselves. And we all have the authority over the enemy as long as you are in Jesus Christ. So when the enemy starts attacking you, don't be cowering in the corner like you don't have no power. Put your dukes up and fight him back through the power and the authority of prayer. This is spiritual warfare, and the weapons we use to fight physical, we use the word of God to fight off the enemy, as it is only the word of God that the enemy responds to. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Prayer is our only weapon against the attacks of the enemy, and we have been given authority by the Most High God to disallow things in our lives. And we pray, as we should, in the name that is above every name, the name where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So why do we pray? Because we have been given the power and authority to do so, and because it's essential to being victorious in every area of our lives. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, to pray like this, say, Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. And we must seek God in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. So it's our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ and serving in the purpose that God has created for each and every one of us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When you pray first, over time, you will find yourself praying continually. When you open your eyes in the morning, when you realize the Lord has given you another day, when you're taking your shower, when you're brushing your teeth, when you're drinking your coffee, packing your lunch, driving to work, the list is endless of when we can pray. And so prayer is simply just talking to God, and we can do that all the time. Amen. So we just ask that you pray for those who are sick, shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated, you know, someone we know has gone to the doctor and received a bad health report. Pray for those, you know, who have received layoff notices from their jobs. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Like, who needs more bad news, right? You know, pray for those who have, you know, received some type of bad news from, you know, friends and loved ones. You know, make sure to pray for one another personally that we know. And make sure, of course, to pray for yourself because you have to be strong as well. Pray for our children. I don't know. Our youth is all over the place. We have a responsibility to take care of and teach our kids the word of God. Amen. We need to pray for our children, our nation, our world, all of our leaders on every level, the many missing and exploited, those who are trafficked and abused, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and all of those who are persecuted for their belief and service to the Lord all over the world. Amen. And these are just the things that I think about sometimes. But again, the list of what to pray for is inexhaustible. And sometimes, because there is so much to pray for, you don't even really know where to start. Ask the Lord to tell you what to pray for. Ask the Lord to show you things to pray for, because again, the list is inexhaustible. Amen. Amen. So special prayers go out to all of our mothers at Running for Christ Ministries. Mother Cheryl, she gets a double help in the special prayers. Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia, as well as Reverend Richard Overall, Tyrone Hamilton. Like I said, Mother Cheryl, she gets the extra helping because Tyrone has had some things this week, so we're asking for special prayers for them. Pastor John Mack, he preached yesterday, y'all. Again, if you didn't hear it, please go back and listen to it. It was very, very powerful. We want to keep Elder Joe Stevens and his wife and family in prayer. All of the victims of the you know, of mass shootings and families of those people who, you know, there's always collateral damage. You know, there's always people that are affected by the things that go on, even though we think that we're just doing whatever we're doing. No, people are being affected by the choices that are being made. So just keep those in prayer, as well as every other crazy, ridiculous, unnecessary crime that happens all over the world that this doesn't need to happen. Amen. We know that this world is a fallen world, and so, again, there's plenty to pray for. We had more storms yesterday. We had a lot of severe storms yesterday. I was looking at the – I called myself going to watch the Olympics. Channel 4 News was on, and the weatherman is on, and, you know, there were tornadoes that touched down and wind damage and flooding, and a lot of people are without power. So things are constantly going on. So just please make sure to keep all those who are, again, affected by flooding. We've had, what, in the last month, you know, 3, 4, 5 different, you know, sets of rain that have come and, you know, flooding basements and things like that. So just keep everybody listening in prayer. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. Amen. We must pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, those who the devil has convinced that God is not who he is, because we know that Satan knows that God is real. We know that he knows him personally. So don't let him trick you out of a relationship with the Lord. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, your household, Judea, your community, Samaria, outside of your comfort zone, to people and places where you wouldn't normally associate with or go to, and to the ends of the earth." And these are people and places you're like, nah, not me, never. Amen. They need the word of God as well. And it's our job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. That's really what this whole thing is about. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not people. But we know that, unfortunately, some will end up there in eternal torment. This life is short, and we know that God is not bound by time, but we are. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days, so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So don't stand in line and force your way into a place that was not created for you." John chapter 14, verse 3 says that I is Jesus, am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. Amen. So that means if we're in Christ, we got someplace to go. So Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 says, "But let us not mourn as those who have no hope." Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says, he is Jesus, "will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain." All of these things are gone away forever. So when you're sad, heartbroken, you know, or just emotional about all of the things that we see, hear, and read about that we're inundated with, you know, at all times, just use these scriptures as well as many others to give you the strength and encouragement that only the Word of God can give you. Amen. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and in your prayers. We pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. So one of the ways that God meets our needs for companionship is through the church. When we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become not only one with him, but with every other believer. The church is called the body of Christ, and one of its purposes is to meet our need for a person-to-person connection. A spiritual body works much like a human one. Parts are both independent and interdependent, each needing others in order to function well. So to be spiritually and emotionally healthy, we all need support from our brothers and sisters in Christ. In this letter to the Ephesian church, Paul emphasizes Christ-like character qualities that make this possible: humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, and love. He also urges believers to accept one another, that's Romans chapter 15, verse 7, and to bear each other's burdens, and that's Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. If you got people in your prison of unforgiveness, you can't do any of this. You can't be spiritually healthy. You can't be emotionally healthy. You can't want to be to your brothers and sisters in Christ if you have people in your prison of unforgiveness. Amen? So as you can see, we're all part of the body of Christ. We need one another to become our true selves and to bring God glory through the church. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you have love for one another. And that's John chapter 13, verse 35. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everybody in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings are not always in the form of money or material things. A kind word goes a long way. The gift of love is free, and a warm smile is the universal language of kindness." Like I said, now, we should all just be smiling because ain't nobody wearing their mask no more. So that was the one thing that didn't allow you to see if a person was smiling at you or not. So you may have to do something extra like wave or, you know, do something, wink at somebody or something. But now, since nobody's wearing a mask, we can smile. Amen. So make sure that you take time out to be some sunshine to somebody today. The sun is shining, but it might not be where you are. So you be the sun and you shine on somebody today. Because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it." Amen. And to our Run for Christ Ministries family, we know we're not together physically, but this is the last Sunday that we are going to not be in the building. Amen. So we're about to be together physically again. But until then, we are together in spirit. And as the Lord says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, "I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gathered together as my followers, I am there among them." And we know without a doubt that more than two or three filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ have come together this morning. And so we thank God in advance for our answered prayers. Amen. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. So your devotional for today, new life for all of us. Amen. Or I could say like this, new life for us all. That sounds better. "A couple from Chicago was planning a vacation to a warmer climate, but the wife couldn't join her husband until the next day because she was on a business trip. Her husband scribbled down her email address on a little scrap of paper, but upon his arrival, he discovered that he had lost it. He wanted to send off a quick email to let her know he had arrived safely. So trying his best to remember her email address, he composed a brief message and sent it off. Unfortunately, his email did not reach his wife. Instead, it went to a grieving widow who had just lost her husband, a preacher, the day before. She had gone to her computer and was checking her email when she let out a loud shriek and fainted on the spot. Her family came rushing in to see what was on the screen. 'Dearest wife, I just checked in. Everything is prepared for your arrival tomorrow. P.S. It sure is hot down here.' The good news is that because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we don't have to be afraid of that real place that is hot down there. In fact, we don't even have to fear death because Christ died and rose again from the dead. We know that for us as believers, there is life beyond the grave. If that were all the resurrection did for us, it would be worth the price of the ticket. Of course, we didn't buy the ticket. Christ did. But if all that Christianity offered was the hope of life beyond the grave, it would still be worth it to be a Christian. But there is a whole lot more that the resurrection has for us. Our risen Lord will give us a new heart and put a new spirit within us. See Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. He will give us new knowledge, new comfort, new peace, and a new life in him. Talk about something to look forward to. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen. Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate
You're welcome.
Every bit of
You're
it.
You're welcome. Amen.
Amen. I mean, listening so intently, Jesus, like, you know,
ooh,
she's not
Jesus.
Closing out, right? You're closing out.
Jesus.
I'm like, oh. He's like, how can you forget every week?
That's all right.
Anyway. Well, it's your fault because you'd be too interesting anyway.
I know,
Amen.
Right? I'm just trying to do it. That's all.
Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Tell Mira, we say hey.
Mira's in Florida living his best life. I can't take it.
Oh, so he living his best life. Ain't going
living
around.
Living his best life on my check.
Ain't going round and round with you.
Okay.
All right, Crystal.
Ain't playing. Amen.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of y'all that tune in, and we pray that you go ahead and live your new life. Now, next week is going to be a bit different. Saturday will become Sunday. What we do on Sunday, we're going to do on Saturday. And then for those of you who may not know, our Blog Talk Radio, our Sunday service will be broadcast live over Blog Talk Radio. So if you're not comfortable with coming back to church yet, you'll still be able to hear the whole service over Blog Talk Radio. Now, because of the Delta variant, and so that we show love one to another, Jesus asked me to ask everybody in the sanctuary to wear a mask. You know, and when we get outside the church, we can do what we want. But in the sanctuary, because he wants us to show love one to another, you know, John 16, that was his commandment to his disciples just before he left, to love you one another as I've loved you. So to do that, we're going to mask up. I don't like the mask, can't stand the mask, got vaccinated so I wouldn't have to wear the mask, but now I got to wear the mask. So anyway, amen. Well, you know, Jesus said, I'm going to do it, right? Okay, I'm going to do it. Okay, I'm going to try to like it, but I'm working on that part. But anyway, we're going to wear a mask so we could protect everybody in the service. Our services will be from 10 to 12, okay, 10 a.m. to 12, or probably, you know, a little bit before 12 we'll be out, but I'm just saying that. So anyway, we hope to see you next Sunday live and in person, amen, at Running for Christ Ministries at 10 a.m. Y'all know we used to get there at 8. Now it's 10, so nobody should be late for church but me. But anyway, God bless. Amen. Don't forget this evening to tune in to Bring Back the Family with Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. I'm telling you, every single week so far have been through the roof. People calling in from all over the place, making their comments and questions. And, amen, we need to fix this stuff. And if we don't talk about it, work on it, come up with solutions, then it's just going to stay broke. So anyway, God doesn't want that, so he raised her up so that we can go to work on this stuff. Because Christians, look, if anybody's going to fix anything, it's us with the power of Jesus that's going to fix it. The devil ain't trying to fix nothing. He the one got it tore all up. Amen. So we need to wake up, everybody, and start doing what we need to do to make things better. So be sure to tune in at 4 o'clock. You got all the other info from Crystal. Amen. Thank you. Thank all those who have tuned in since last year. Yeah, we've been on Blog Talk Radio since the first Sunday after March 20th. Pandemic tore us up. We had to get out of there March 15th of 2020, and now we're going back in. I want to thank everybody who listened on Blog Talk Radio faithfully, and for all the new listeners and the participants, we thank God for you. And we pray that you stay tuned in next week. We don't want to lose you. Everybody, let me shout y'all out. I know I'm going a little bit over time, but I need to shout them out because we're always talking about the folks at Running for Christ, and, you know, we have more listeners kind of all over the place, and I'm thanking the Lord for that. So we want to shout out the people, of course, all over the United States, the folks over in Canada, in the Philippines, in the Sudan, north and south, and in the Congo, and in Brazil, Sierra Leone, all over the place, amen, in the United Kingdom, Slovakia, amen, and Bulgaria, of course, all over India, both sides, amen, the Sudan, Cameroon, amen, picked up some new listeners in Cameroon and in the Congo, and of course, I already said it, Sierra Leone, and other places. We thank God, wherever you at, that you tune in, been tuning in, stuck with us for a whole year. Now we're going back into church on Sundays, okay, and we want you to know that we're not going to drop you off. Okay, we're going to keep you tuned in because we're going to broadcast our service over Blog Talk Radio live. You'll get a chance to hear us live in service. Amen. So God bless you. God keep you. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I got a tree in the backyard with my name on it. Amen. But at least it didn't go through my truck window. But amen. Praise Jesus for angels that hold branches up till you move your truck, then it fall down. Praise God. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence of his glory with exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you. Now start living the new life. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. And we'll see you. Got this new song. I love it. See you later.
Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no top of shade. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful.
Joyful today.
I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh. I'm gonna be joyful. I got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day.
Ooh.
This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy.